What did you make, and what were your biggest takeaways from the president's address last night?
Yeah, you know, it was a long speech, but it was a great speech. He hit a lot of the same themes that he had been hitting on the campaign. He gave us great updates. The speech basically filled in for a State of the Union. And he gave us more details. He gave us an update about progress. Some of that is pretty well known. But it was by and large, with the exception of the Ukraine and even to a lesser extent Israel in the Middle East, it was very much a domestically focused speech. He talked about energy policy. He talked about his border policy, which has been a resounding success. He talked about his goals with Congress and his hope to really get the country back on track. And I thought it was a very good, polished speech.
We've heard a lot, Congressman, in the last week or so about these tariffs, particularly those on Canada and Mexico that were enforced earlier this week. Are those tariffs a good thing?
Yeah, he mentioned that, and he poses the question, if one country is taxing us or putting a tariff on American goods to 100%, and we don't tariff them in response, what's the effect of that? What's the incentive there? And he used India as the example. They apply a tariff of 100% on American goods, specifically automobiles, what he talked about. And he indicated there could be some temporary pauses and pushback, but to bear with him. And I think he ultimately wants free and fair trade. And, the countries obviously aren't going to like them. They're having to pay for them. But if it will lower their duties on American goods, I think it'll be a good thing.
Would like your perspective on the potential cuts to Medicaid that we've heard about the last couple of weeks and what that could do for so many North Carolinians if those cuts are in fact enacted.
You know, the president's been very clear about this, that he wants to root out waste, fraud, and abuse. And with Medicaid specifically, there is tremendous waste, fraud, and abuse as just in the realm of illegal immigration. There are 30 million illegal immigrants in the country, Chris, and one has to ask, where are they getting their health care from? Those dollars that are going to illegal immigrant health care, those dollars need to be rerouted to American citizens. And the Biden administration was very crafty in allocating dollars to states who would then promise health care to illegals, or awarding tens of billions of dollars to NGOs, non-governmental organizations, who would then parlay those dollars into care for exclusively for illegal immigrants. And what we're seeing now is, especially with the DOGE effort and sort of a forensic accounting, is that Medicaid dollars were not being used for what they were intended to be used for, which is the most vulnerable, those who can least afford it in the American citizenry. And we have to ask ourselves, how many illegal immigrants should be put in front of Americans who are in need of the Medicaid services? And so if we can cut the dollars that are being appropriated just to the illegal immigrants and stop states from taking Medicaid dollars and promising illegal immigrants health care, I think there'll be tremendous savings. And then we can obviously reallocate towards the American taxpayers and the American citizens who most need it.
Would also like your perspective, Congressman, on this potential government shutdown, which is looming in about 9 days or so. Do you have a sense of if this bill is going to get done to keep the government open?
So my sense is, Chris, that the bill that the president wants, that he refers to it as the one big, beautiful bill, it will not be finished in 9 days. The White House is likely, I don't know this for sure yet, but likely going to push a temporary short-term CR, continuing resolution, while this bill is getting worked out. And hopefully before summer, the bill can go into effect, and we can see the benefits of it. But given that the Senate has not even started going through what Congress sent them or what the House sent them, I don't see much likelihood that it'll be passed in 9 days.
Watching Mr. Trump's speech last night, Congressman, seemed pretty partisan in the chamber last night. Do you get the sense that's going to be kind of the norm on Capitol Hill over the next couple of years?
Well, I agree with you on one hand, Chris, that there was a very partisan feel, but the message, unfortunately, I didn't think was overly partisan. I mean, savings, making the economy better, extracting rare earth minerals here in the United States, bringing down energy costs. But President Trump could not get one smile, much less a clap, from the other side. And what really struck me is there were things that typically, whether it's the cabinet walking in, the vice president being introduced, the first lady being introduced, not one round of applause, not one standing ovation from the other side. Even when the child with brain cancer who had survived years past his original diagnosis was given a ceremonial badge for the Secret Service, it was a heartwarming moment that I think even people on the television could see it. Mm-hmm. I could certainly feel it in the House chamber. And when I sat down and turned back and saw that not one Democrat stood up to clap, I was very disappointed in that. And, you know, truth be told, the country is far bigger than President Trump. We have grave problems, and we must unite where we can unite. We must treat the other side with respect and productive kindness, if you will. And last night, I think the wrong tone was set from the other side.
We'll like to change gears on you in the few moments we have left. There was a hearing last week on the Hill relating to human trafficking, and you spent a lot of time talking about that during the campaign, also worked on it as a federal prosecutor. Biggest things you wanted to get out of that hearing about human trafficking last week?
It's a great question, Chris, and you know, law enforcement is doing a good job now discussing it, trying to identify it, and there are several steps that we must do proactively, and obviously the police must be funded. Federal law enforcement must be tasked with being sort of the quarterback of these investigations. The border policy is inextricably linked to it. I mean, we have, from the last administration, several hundred thousand teenagers and minors who are in the country without supervision. And it's a tremendous problem. And human trafficking is one of those unfortunate cancers in a society. You look around the world, once it takes hold, it is very hard to eradicate it. It preys upon the vulnerable. It exploits children. It exploits those who are disadvantaged. And it's a tremendous priority of me, and I know the administration and many in Congress, to really get ahead of this and punish the perpetrators and to stop it before it can progress further.
What's the biggest thing you want to leave our listeners with today, Congressman?
You know, that's a great question. Be optimistic. Be encouraged. I think we've got some wonderful opportunities ahead of us. It's going to take all of us working together. And if we can do that, if we can check off those big ticket items, whether it's taxes, reg reform, energy reform, I think that we can have a tremendous run here in the next few months.
North Carolina 13th District Congressman Brad Knott. Congressman, always appreciate the time and the perspective and look forward to chatting again soon.
Chris, thank you.
Talk soon. Yes, sir.